Some 30 years ago, one of the members of this faculty wrote a book called What Do You Think of Jesus? It was a good question then, and it's a worthwhile question for us to ponder this morning. For in this gospel text, we see the people of Jesus' time grappling with this very question. Who is this guy? They can't really settle on an answer. By the time we reach this point in John's gospel, the bloom is coming off of Jesus' rose, and the Jews and others are increasingly antagonized by the claims that he is making about himself. We've had the bread of life discourse, after which many abandoned him. Jesus said, John 6:65, "No one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." The response? After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. The controversy continued. At the Feast of Booths, there was another confrontation, and again, people grappled with this question of who is Jesus? Some said, he is a good man, while others said, no, he is leading the people astray. Some think he may be the Christ. Others state bluntly to his face, you have a demon. Who is this Jesus? And what do you think about him? Is he a demon-possessed madman with delusions of grandeur? Is he simply one of many who claim to be God's representative on earth? Is he a miracle worker of the first degree? Or simply a good teacher, showing us the way to please God by our own actions? Jesus himself says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." So the question for us is, do we see or are we blind? And if we are blind, what is it that we are blinded to? We are blinded to seeing the very nature of God in the incarnation of his Son. We expect a mighty and majestic Savior and awesome God, but remain unseeing that true God of true God stands in our midst as servant. Sin blinds, but Christ reveals himself to us. He gives eyesight to the blind, and now that you see, what do you see? Christ lays himself out as the object of our attention in the plainest words possible in this text. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Here Jesus, in the clearest possible way, predicts his imminent work of giving up his life for the sins of his listeners, both then and now. Here he tells us that his work, the work that we see, is for him to give up his life to make atonement once and for all sins. This he does willingly, laying down his life for you, then taking it up again, that we all might have eternal life. What do you think of Jesus? What did the crowds think? Our Lord's clear statements that he would lay down his life and receive it again because of the Father's authority lead some to exclaim, he has a demon and is insane. Others weren't so sure. So what do you think of Jesus? Today a number of you are with us who are considering entering the seminary and preparing for the office of the ministry. It can be an overwhelming thing to be introduced to the life of this particular community. You come on campus for the first time, excited, full of anticipation, and also not a little worried. This is a holy place, you think to yourself, and I may not be up to the measure of those who are already here. You see all of these people walking around in collars, and they're just students. By the way, a word to you all, that's how you tell the difference between students and professors. Students wear collars, profs wear ties. Well, anyway, these students look like pastors. I'm not sure I match up. It can be overwhelming. Realize this, that even the students who look the most like pastors now continue to struggle with these same issues you face. We all do. Am I really worthy? Do I really have what it takes to be a pastor? What will the future bring? Even the more mundane questions that we all face. Am I smart enough to do this? Can I afford it? At this point, the question returns. What do you think of Jesus? Is the office of the ministry just another job opportunity? Is the call to ministry simply a matter of ratcheting up one's holiness? Are you worthy of the office because you have progressed in holiness beyond your peers, and that makes you worthy? Certainly not. The office that you are considering, the office that many of you are now training for, the office that many of us have entered, is an immersion into the life of Christ Himself. It is no small thing to lay down that life that you've had before this time. But because Christ has laid down His life for you, He will raise you up again in a new life of service, of preaching, and administering the sacraments. His life will take hold of yours. He will draw you into Himself, and through you, He will do His work of forgiving sins and strengthening faith. The works that He does, which bear witness to who He is, these works He will do through you. How did people respond when you first told them you were thinking about studying for the ministry? Hopefully no one said, "He has a demon and is insane." But the variations of it may be present. What? Give up a good job? Move to where? It always rains there. Leave everything for a life of service? Leave everything I've built for a life shaped by the cross, for a life shaped by Christ's own life? Are you nuts? Maybe some said that to you. They said it about Jesus. Still, there are others who say, "These are not the words of one oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Those of you Christ is calling to the office of the ministry will do just that. By preaching the word and administering the sacraments, Christ will use you to open the eyes of the blind, to give sight where there was none before, to place before the church and the world Christ, the Son of the Father, who laid down His life and took it back up. Immediately following the conclusion of this morning's text, Jesus says this, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." The Lord's voice could not be clearer. He calls you to service in His name. He calls you to proclaim the word of truth. He calls you to open the eyes of those who are blind. He calls you to lay down your own life so that you may take it up again for the good of the church and the salvation of souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.